All right. Hello, Seattle. Welcome back to another episode of The Money Seat. With me, your host, Ross Krause, certified financial planner. The guy to help you with all your financial questions, simple, complicated. I'm the guy to go to. Once again, I'm Ross Krause, host of The Money Seat. Normally, we do call-ins, and if you have a call-in question, love for you to call in at 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527, or you could email me at ross.krause@lpl.com, ross.krause@lpl.com, or go to my website, rosskrause.com. Very simple, my first and last name, and you could view previous episodes, previous podcast recordings, ask a question, become a sponsor, all good things as well. But today we're breaking a little bit with the norm of me speaking to a specific person about a specific question that they have, or multiple people about email, text questions that they have or called in. And instead I'm going to do I keep trying to word this, if it's a lecture, if it's a monologue, it's what Eric was saying, monologue earlier, but it's a informative speaking engagement with the general public about something that's actually pretty current going on, the Long-Term Care Act in Washington, that I want to address. I've had a great question on here before about general long-term care, and I think I was able to speak for 5-6 minutes, but there's a lot more in that to unpack than just what I discussed. And then with a client had a question because she got an email from her company. They were asking her about enrolling in this thing and the tax and everything starting soon. And I thought, well, let's just kind of unpack all those together, because this is kind of unique. I don't know if you realize this, but Washington's on the forefront of this. No one's done this before in any states. They're probably not going to be the last. Generally, when there's an overarching issue in financials and one state or one company or someone tackles it first, then the dominoes kind of come after it and other states will probably follow, or the federal government. We'll see. So let's kind of just briefly, okay, go over what's going on. So Washington, a few years ago, enabled a long-term care tax that's going to start January 1st or January 2nd, I guess, of 2022. So a few months. It's coming up in January of next year. So coming up very soon. It is designed for people who live and work in Washington and who are employers. So if you're a 1099 person, this doesn't necessarily apply to you. This would be W-2 employees who live and work in the state of Washington to have some type of long-term care benefit when they put money in. So what is the tax? So if you want to know what the exact tax is, it's 0.58% of your paycheck. Or if you make $100,000 a year, it'll be $580 of taxes. Okay, so that's what it is. So you might be saying, well, one, I'm young, why do I care? Or two, this doesn't apply to me, why do I care? Ah, I'm glad you thought that to yourself. This is where I'll be doing both sides of the conversation on this episode. So why should you care, 20-year-old or 30-year-old or 50-year-old or whatever? So even if you're not 60 or 70, and this isn't something that might be happening soon, the statistical odds of someone using long-term care and needing to use long-term care in their lifetime are about 1 in 3, maybe 1 in 4. They're about, let's say, about 25 to 33%. We're going to use that as a general statistic. So that means, well, if you're young and it's maybe not you now, well, there's a good chance it could be a parent, a loved one, a significant other, a sibling. Almost, I wouldn't say 100%, but it would be extremely likely that if you have siblings, if you have parents, if you have aunts and uncles, and if you have a significant other, someone is going to be affected by this. Someone's going to be in a long-term care facility. They're going to need some help as they get older. That's how life is now. It's only going to get more likely as people live longer. We find more cures to prevent people from dying, and find it easier and more comfortable to live as we get older, right? I mean, that's what we've kind of doing as a society, as a human race, is trying to prolong our lives as long as possible by any means necessary. That's only going to get better to be able to do that. We're only going to be getting longer, living longer, sorry. And as a result, it's those statistics are only going to go up. So it's important. It's important that it might not be you personally, but a loved one you know that's going to have to deal with this. And that's why it's something that you need to either know about, understand, and also plan for. Just like your retirement, just like your vacation to Disney World, wherever else you're going, you got to have a plan before you just blindly go into this. There's a few reasons why. One of them is that it's complicated. And two, it's extremely, extremely expensive. So what is this law designed to then give you as a benefit? Well, not much, unfortunately. About $36,500 in total lifetime benefits. So you might be saying, well, that sounds like a lot. That's a good benefit. You're right. If you just said, hey, you're going to have $36,500 towards this care, you'll be like, okay, great. That's better than zero. Agreed. However, it doesn't really take you very far. On average, if you're going to go into an assisted living home, especially here in an expensive city like Seattle or anywhere else where it's a little more expensive, you're going to be looking at $50,000 a year. If you want to get top of the line, private, you know, full service care, you're looking at six figures, $100,000 or more. So now that $36,000, and that's per year, everyone. So $250 to $300 a day. So if you're looking at $36,500, now you're like, oh, well, that's only going to help me for 6 months to a year. Exactly. So this is designed to either, one, if you have very basic needs and just kind of want to live off this for a few years and not have any frills at all, then this might be for you. Or two, it might cover you for a half a year or a year, and then you're on your own for the rest. And in case you didn't know those statistics, people who go on long-term care and use that are about, average stay is about 3 years. It'll probably be longer over the next 20 or 30 years. An unfortunate reality, and I know this isn't the most fun subject, but it's important, and that's why I'm talking about it, is people usually don't go off. So it's something I don't like people to cheap out on if it's going to be the end for them. I think you want to live as best as you can if that's going to be the last few years, or it could be 5 or 10 years, who knows. But if that's going to be the case, then even more reason why you need some money. So that's the downside. The idea was great. Let's set up something for people, because Medicaid is really the only thing out there that helps cover it. And in order to qualify for Medicaid, you have to spend on your assets, and it's not pretty. It's very ugly. So, and it's very uses up a lot of government money and states' money to do that. So we have our $36,500 benefit. That's what you're going to get for your lifetime, which we just established isn't very much. So what is that used for, right? What do I get from that? So the idea, like I said, the benefit itself of $36,500 isn't going to be enough for most people to live, but is that going to be a quality benefit? The idea of the law is, yes, there's a lot of things in there where you could, that qualifies you to use, not that qualifies by a doctor who says you can't do certain things and you need these assistance. So one of them is the most common, which is assisted living, which you go in some type of nursing home and someone takes care of you. Assisted living, private home, anything where you're in some type of nursing home that you've all heard the stereotypes about, that you're with the other community and you qualify and you have care. Those are all one thing that qualifies. Most people don't actually use that. You'd be surprised. About a third of people who actually qualify for long-term care and have these disabilities don't actually go into some type of private or nursing home. That's only one third. Two thirds of the people need it in-house. They have the same issues, but they're electing in-home care. So one you need to know about this is that you're not stuck having to go to a nursing home to use it. You could use it at home. Yay, that's great. Most people, like I said, two-thirds of people want to do that. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be at my home, and I want to make it my place. Great. However, In case you didn't figure that out, that's the most expensive option, everyone. Okay, you have to have someone coming to you. Maybe they're coming 3 times a day. Maybe they're coming every day. You generally have expensive equipment, ramps, whatever you have to do to make your house disability, handicap, laundry care accessible, whatever that is. The good news is these costs cover that. Yay. The bad news is $36,500 does not go very far. Like I said, if you're buying some of these things and you're getting a person to come in, you know, a year is not realistic. You might be looking at 6 months of expenses that are covered, and then you're on your own. So if you're young, that means you're now responsible for taking care of that parent or sibling or brother, which in some situations might be reasonable and most are not. You have your own life. You know, people who are in their 40s and 50s are in the sandwich generation where they have their own kids to take care of. It's not realistic for them to then take care of their own parents, right? So there's people above them and below them that need equal care. Finding the money to do that is very difficult. And so anyways, having parents and taking care of them and doing this is very expensive. So that is a good benefit, and the law allows you to use it for these things. So it's important to know that when you're electing to do this. Lastly is, well, how does it work? How do I get to use it? What are the rules? So I'm not a huge fan of the rules. They're very restrictive. So you have to be contributing for at least 10 years into this tax or this fund, how they do it. And you have to be currently in the state of Washington. So if you worked for 9 years, 11 months, and 29 days, and then moved to Oregon, and then needed to use the long-term care, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. You're SOL, unfortunately. So if you're not sure where you want to live or where you're going to be in 10 years, there's also a rule where if you've been paying for 5 years and you're 65 or older and qualify, they'll let you do it. So the earliest you could start is 2025, I believe. And you could look this all up and kind of find some of those statistical, you know, facts on your own. But that's a little restrictive. And this person who's 25 asked, well, I don't know where I'm going to be in the future. And I said, yeah, I know. You know, who knows what's going to happen in 20 or 30 years? Is it even worth it? And we were going through the cost of the insurance and cost of the tax. And you might as well just, you know, it ended up being like $7-$10 a month. And I'm like, for that amount, just do it. And maybe you will be here and it'll be worth it. Or maybe you'll be here. So maybe you'll be here by the time. So that's something that's very important to know, that if you're signing up and doing this, you need to understand this could change, but it's Washington specific. Also, you might be wondering, well, I live in Oregon, but my company's in Washington and I work there. How does that work? Nope. Also doesn't apply to you. You have to be working and living in the physical state of Washington to get the benefit when the time comes. So that's a little restrictive. The money, $36,500, doesn't get you as far as you think. The benefits are good, but the more you need them and the more you use, the less that money is going to take you. And now you're realizing that, well, if it's not me, it's a good chance it's going to be someone else. So then this opens up everything else. Why is this law here? What were they thinking? Who's it going to help? The realistic reason behind this is that we're growing older, we're living longer, things are more expensive, and the government doesn't pay for any of this. So they don't want people who kind of like spend down their money and don't have anyone to take care of them left with nothing, and they don't want the state to have to foot those bills because they're extremely expensive. So this is one way of the state passing on the cost to you, the taxpayer, unfortunately. So you're not spent with the billions, yes, billions of dollars that it'll cost to pay for people's long-term care when they have no assets, when it's on Medicaid. So that's one reason why they set it up. But the bigger picture is, and I hope this is true, I can't read the mind of the people making the rules, is to also get people to raise some awareness, is to realize that this is a very real problem and people need to do something about this. So let's say you're thinking right now, well, I don't like what you're saying, Ross. $36,500 is not enough benefit. I want to have more flexibility. I want more benefits. I want to have control over this. I don't want the state doing this for me. I'm glad you thought that because you're absolutely right. So you can opt out. You can opt out of this. I believe the opt-out date is November 1st. We got a few days. If you want to give me a call afterwards, 847-501-1538, we could discuss a real long-term plan for you, a long-term care insurance plan. So if you have long-term care insurance privately through the marketplace, which is the only place really to get it, a very few employers offer it, and you really have to go in the private marketplace to do it. Most 90, 95% of people don't go through it and don't have it on their own. And this is why this law exists as well. It's not too late. You could say, hey, state of Washington, I'm exempt from this tax. I'm covered. I have an insurance plan. This is the policy. And then they're like, great, you're exempt. No tax for you. Keep living your life. Good job planning. You're smart. Not that if you don't do this, you're not smart, but you should at least look at this because it's very important. So how do you go out and get long-term care insurance in the private marketplace, and how does it look? Well, it's going to look scary, to be honest. It's going to be expensive, and it's going to be a lot more expensive than a plan at work or this tax is going to be, right? If you're making $100,000 and that tax is $580, realistically, if you're getting long-term care insurance that's quality, that covers you, you know, not $36,500 a year, but $36,500 total, but $36,000 per year for 5 years, you might be looking at $1,000 to $2,000 a year or a few hundred bucks a month. That's the realistic part of it. And you might be perfectly healthy and in your late, and probably 50s is what it is, what something that would cost. So when should you start looking at this? Ideally, between the age of 45 to 60, I've looked at this for people who are over 60. It's possible. It becomes very pricey. And also, the older you get, the more whatever health things could come up that could cause this to just be too much. I worked with someone and they were, you know, 68 and they wanted to get long-term care insurance and they were healthy for a 68-year-old. And they have a lot of times with this stuff, you have two options. You could actually pay it all up front and get all your coverage covered in one lump sum payment, or you could pay over time. This couple decided to pay once a year for 10 years, and it cost them each about $25,000. Yes. Now they're going to get about $5,000 a month of coverage for about 5 years, and it comes with a death benefit. So if they never use it, you're like, well, what if I don't use it? What if I do pass away and all this money goes to waste? I'm glad you said that, because there are these policies where it has a death benefit. So either it'll go to your beneficiaries, your significant others, or you'll use it for long-term care. So it's not a use it or lose it policy. It's very important to realize that, right? People are hesitant because you're right. You don't know what's going to happen. You may need this. You may not. We're men. We might just drop dead of a heart attack in our 50s like we're supposed to and never use this. Well, then we have our death benefit to the significant other of, half a million. I think this was about half $1 million of death benefit as well. But there's much cheaper ways to go about doing this. There's also the one-time lump sum payment. I've worked with a few people. This was in their early 50s, late 40s. So to give you an idea, one male, one female. They were able to get about $3,000 a month with an inflation rider, meaning that $3,000 a month will be adjusted up every year by 5%, because what costs $3,000 now will cost $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 in the future based on all that. And remember, if you're 40 or 50, this is something that you're looking at 20 or 30 years in the future. So you want an increased benefit. And they were able to get about $3,000 a month. They had a lump sum payment of about $40,000 they paid in. So you're like, well, that's great for them. Not everyone can afford that. Well, you're right. So there's a few ways for people to afford it. One, and it's only if you have a very large amount in your retirement account. Some people take out a $40,000 or $50,000 loan from their retirement accounts in their, let's say, 50s, and they use that as a payment for the long-term care. Assuming you've worked with an advisor, you've done the analysis, you've done all the retirement stuff, you looked at all the reports, everything, and said, it's okay, you can take that 40 or 50 or 75 for you and your spouse or for you, put it away, and keep going with your retirement, knowing that risk is now taken care of. What you're essentially doing is taking 40 or 50 now, ensuring that you won't have a $250,000 to $500,000 hit in 20 or 30 years, right? Because people can absorb that small hit now, most likely, but you might not be able to absorb that huge hit later. So that was one option. What this client actually did, and this is for someone out there who has already done this or is thinking about this, they actually did something called a whole life conversion. And I'm getting all out there, and I'm not advocating to do this or not, but this is what they did. So some people, when they're younger, they get life insurance, and they get a whole life policy, which just means it's more expensive, but you have value. It's actually an asset. It has cash, and it builds up that cash. And then eventually, you might have 40 or 50 or 100,000 in there. And you might be like, well, I don't need this now. My kids are grown up. I don't need all this insurance. But what I do need is I need long-term care, right? Right now, I'm not as worried about if I die, but I am worried about if I become disabled or if I become have to be nursed or something like that. So what they did was they took that 40 or 50,000 from their whole life insurance, and they took that and they purchased with that what they could get in the equivalent of long-term care. So it never actually cost them any money. There's no taxes to that because they want to give you an advantage of that. And bam, now they just converted their life insurance that they didn't need as much to long-term care. So what's my advice for people? Well, my advice for people is if you're young, I know it's more expensive to get something like a whole life, and it's not for everyone because you have to be making a little bit more money and afford it because you're looking at, 5 to 10 times more expensive. So, $50 a month could be $250 or $500 a month. But the idea isn't so crazy now for younger people to getting whole life with then the idea in 20 or 30 years, myself included, who does this, I use this own strategy for me and my wife to then convert that and use that value to buy long-term care. Because most people in their 40s or 50s probably don't have $50 or $100,000 lying around to spend on this, especially something that they can afford. So the reason why I bring this up is, well, if you're young, I'm telling you, even if this seems very far away, it's something you want to look at now or evaluate what's in place for my parents, what's in place for my siblings, what's in place for anyone in their 50s or 60s or 70s right now to take care of them financially. That's probably a difficult conversation to have, but you need to know that because all of a sudden, the sad thing that happens is either it's a couple, and one person takes care of the other one, and then the other one passes away, and then there's one person left on their own. More, 9 times out of 10, women. Women will take care of a male spouse. That male spouse will pass away. Either she's younger or she lives longer, statistically, and then she's now on her own, either to be cared for by her kids or herself. And then by that point, either it's too late to get help or she spends down the rest of the money and then there's nothing left for either charities for her kids or she's unfortunately had to move out of her living, sell a house, make very uncomfortable and unfortunate financial decisions as a result. This is a tale told over and over again. It is heartbreaking. It is sad. And I don't want anyone to go through this, young or old, if you can. There's obviously going to be situations where either you're maybe just can't do anything, you don't have money, and you're going to have to go on the Medicaid. I get it. But it's something that I want people, no matter what age you are, to start thinking about, to start planning, and to start having conversations with the young one, the family, and the people you care about to make sure there is a plan. Because there are lots of options, right? It's not just like, oh, well, we can't pay this long-term care insurance, so, we're screwed. No. There are options. There's lots of options, okay? But you have to come up with a plan. It's much more likely that you're going to have to deal with this than you are going to have to deal with someone, any type of terrible life situations you can go over, any type of this is one of the more likely ones. I also wanted to bring this up as I run to the end of the time that a lot of times in the show and in life and when I work with clients, it's more overwhelmingly a positive conversation we have. It's about inheriting money or winning this or growing money that or doing positive stuff for weddings or kids or right. And I think people always get lost in the planning for the other side of things. And unfortunately, it's just as likely that something like that's going to happen. That's something positive. It's just how life works. And people don't either want to think about it or they don't want to plan for those things. And those are the things that they blow up your life. They blow up your financial plan. You might be working with a great advisor and you might be killing it in the market and making all this money and building your wealth, and one of these types of events for you or your family or your spouse can blow up everything. I've seen it before. It will happen again. And if you're not prepared for the downside, for the other side of things, if you don't have protection, then all that good you've done, all that positive planning, all that worth and everything you've done on the positive side will be for nothing. And that's, for me, also very sad. So with that, I'm going to kind of end it there. If you're wondering, oh, man, this is a downer, Ross. It's a downer because it's a downer subject, but it's very serious. It's very important. And I have to cover it because I wouldn't be doing my job not only as a financial podcast host and show host, but as a good financial advisor to cover both things. And it's something that should be brought up as well. You have to plan for everything, both good and bad. Human nature, we tend to plan better for good things than bad things. And we kind of miss some of those. So thanks for tuning in. Once again, if you have more questions, it's not too late to try to get some long-term care insurance and at least look at it, figure out what's going on. Talk to your employers. They might have some leads. They might have a plan that they're coming up with on their own that could help you out. But don't just go in this in the dark without a plan. And also don't just say, oh, now my company in Washington's offering me this long-term care insurance, I'm good. You're also not good. I just went over, remember, that it's probably not going to be enough to fill your needs based on the limited amount of what they're covering and what things cost now and what they will cost in the future. Next week, so once again, thanks for listening, everyone. Next week, I'm going to be out of town, so I thought it'd be a good time to replay my pilot episode. So if you haven't had enough of me and Stacy, too bad. She'll be back on. The pilot episode's great. We kind of go through why I'm doing this. So if you've just kind of tuned in to me in the last few months and like what you hear, now you could get to learn a little bit more about me, why I'm doing this, and kind of get to the roots of some of the stuff we discussed. And hopefully that will be helpful as well to you or anyone else. It's a great time to kind of start over from scratch and kind of really figure out what we're doing here. So anyways, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Ross Krause, and this has been The Money Seat.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professionals prior to making a decision. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Economic forecasts set forth may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful.